Should we go? Okay. Thanks for your patience, folks. Good morning, everybody. You've done really well to find this place. So you passed the first singularity test. My name is Takiri Wandragala. I work for Lenovo in the data center group. I'm based out of the UK. And I work on projects where people are looking to build new data centers, optimize existing ones, etc. And a few weeks ago, or about a month ago, I was invited down to South Africa, and they were talking about singularities. And they wanted me to present. Okay, they asked me to talk about singularities and the effect of singularities. And I thought that was kind of strange, because the last time I heard that was when I was doing my degree, right? And you know, you hear of all technological singularities. That's what you most probably heard this morning. That actually is very from a very famous father of computer science, von Neumann. He had this idea of accelerating computer intelligence, and then afterwards people thought about, you know, working with genetics and all the changes there. But it's actually a bit deceptive. There's simpler things than that. In maths, the singularity, things like zero is a singularity. The square root of minus one. It's when the rules that you think work suddenly go wrong. So all the numbers work perfectly until you get to zero and you try this rule called division. And you divide one by zero. What's the answer? Then you get the square root of minus one. What's the answer? There is an answer. What you have to do is use a completely new way of thinking. Okay? The other trick about singularities is this. It's happening all the time. Right? With here the big thing, like you heard this morning, but little things, right? It's when the rules change. Okay? The things you knew and trusted suddenly becomes dangerous. Mark Twain, that was one of his famous comments. Yeah? It's the things you're sure of that trip you up. Right? Because they ain't so. Okay? So I thought, how can I picture a singularity? Do I show you a curve in space-time and do all this clever stuff? And I thought of this. Best example of a singularity, the simplest example I remember, that's meant to be the dot on the ThinkPad in our Lenovo systems. That's a singularity. That changed the whole way your mouse system worked. It allowed you to move a pointer without actually taking your hand off the keyboard. Okay? It didn't mean the mouse went away, but it's an example. So a singularity is a time and space where things come together and suddenly a new opportunity is available. A dramatic new opportunity. Okay? So keep that in your head and keep the idea that it's not all big things sometimes, it's little simple things. And sometimes the singularity is when you actually realize something has happened. Okay? So what about computing? What about data centers? What about the practical use of it? Okay? Because it's nice to know there's going to be sort of these superhuman beings in the future. But what about the practical reality that you can make use of today? That's what's really important. And in order to see that, you need to go to another very famous scientist, Charles Darwin. Yeah, he talked about singularities in evolution. Now, Darwin's theory is really interesting. You may believe it or may not, but it's about the environment. Evolution only happens when the environment changes. So if we have the same environment at the time of the dinosaurs, guess what? We'd have dinosaurs. Right? It's when the environment changes on you and you don't respond, that's when you get into trouble. Okay? So, let's have a look at the data center and see the environment and see if there's changes that potentially could trip you up big time. So here's a classic data center. These are the ones I worked in. I joined this industry a long, long time ago. And we know how these work. They're very stable. They're inside banks, insurance companies, airline companies, etc. Okay? And very well organized, very secure. All the data in there, you've chosen what to put in there. But then suddenly the internet comes off. Suddenly all these other clever things, Facebook, YouTube, all of these things, and all your customers are using that more than your banking systems. Right? They're using that for some reason more than the tax systems. I wonder why they don't use our tax systems as much. Okay? And suddenly all this data there, they call big data. What's the problem? The problem is you're used to having structured data that you chose what to look at. Right? You chose it. You set the rules. Now you're in a world where your customers are giving tons of fantastic data that you'd love to get your hands on, but there are a couple of problems. It's not structured the way you want it. It's structured the way they want it. And it's in quantities that are beyond belief. So you're used to megabytes and terabytes. This starts at petabytes. So you've got to find a way of putting this round thing into this square thing, right? That's the first thing. That's what you call big data. Bad name. It's actually customer information. Your existing customers and future customers. And because of the quantity, you're going to have to start using some very smart computers, because your standard searches aren't going to work. They're going to take too long. Okay? And according to people like Forbes, 30% of that data, of all the data that's created, is going to go via a cloud. So there has to be a magical way of somehow getting this cloud in here, right? So now you start seeing how the environment has changed, and a revolution or an evolutionary step will have to happen in the data center. Okay? And the real important thing about all of this is not the technology, it's the people. The people who are specialists in these areas. It's about how to change their behavior so that they realize it's behind, not behind a technology, but behind an application. It has to be behind an application, because that's what governs a business process. Okay? So not only is there some technology issues here, there's some people issues. So it's a very, very exciting time. The other singularity, as I said, the data center is hitting quite a few singularities. But the biggest is software defined. Okay? So what is this? Why should I even bother with this? Is it a fashion? Okay? Now what this chart is trying to tell you is this. So at the data center I showed you was a nice multi-tier data center. Everything worked nicely. Best of breed, all wired together nicely. Very good. Tricky if you want to change it. Right? Because one thing is connected to another. So what happened next? People thought, oh, you know what I could do? I could virtualize. I'll virtualize this. I'll use VMware. I'll use Hyper-V. And then we'll converge it. And then we'll put this nice software wrapper to do the management. But each of the pools of virtualization are distinct. So the network people did their virtualization. The server people did their virtualization. The storage people did theirs. And suddenly, bang. Hyperconverge comes. When somebody realizes, why do we have to do it like that? Why can't we just use a server? It's got storage, it's got networking, it can run VMs. Why don't we use that as the building block? Right? And then, that then leads to some crazy ideas. Suddenly, the application, the software is free to allocate what it wants. So now in this world, right, a network switch is a physical thing, right? Wires, cables, thing. In this world, a network switch is a set of instructions. A virtual machine is a set of instructions. When you want more, the application can ask for it. Okay? This is a sea change. Does this mean this is going to go away and never exist? Absolutely not. There's some things that are going to work this way. Just like, you know, in Darwin's evolution, there's still monkeys running around, right? There's still alligators. Okay? So keep this idea, and this is a massive transformation. Now, most people looked at this and said, where's the facts? I've seen the song and dance routine, right? Where are the facts? It's typical of this industry. We do the song and dance routine first. Yeah? Facts started February last year. And it started, I'm going to pick on the storage side of things. Standard, this is pre-singularity. Pre-singularity is very straightforward. It's the more you pay, the more you get. Because everything is well understood, right?
This is in the storage.
Yeah, when you get really fancy stuff, you can do this sort of thing. And it costs that much. Okay? Same thing in the car industry. Right, if you want a fast car, it costs you a lot of money. Okay? But then, February last year, the singularity hit. Bang. Okay? This company, DataCore, who we work with, they came along and produced this number. This is the Storage Performance Council that just wiped the floor with everything else. Okay. And guess what happened? Everybody said, oh no, that's just flash storage, flash storage, flash storage. Absolutely not. Let's have a look at how they did it. They used a standard server, a standard building block. They put some clever software to parallelize all the IOs and change the game. It's a bit like if you jump in an electric car. I had the opportunity to do that recently when I took my old banger in for a service, right? They gave me a tiny little electric car. The biggest shock of my life was when I put my foot on the accelerator. It was like a bike, right? And then I thought to myself, how would I get that acceleration from a normally aspirated engine or a turbo engine? Well, it's gonna cost me $150,000. This is a game changer. The singularity. That's why I've called my presentation The Singularity and Beyond. It's already happened. The train has left the station. Okay? With Nutanix, we work very closely with them. They came to us and they've taken it even a step further than that. They've basically taken a server, they've written their software so you can pool the storage, mirror the networking through, and then run your VMs actually on that module. Changes the game, right? In TCO terms, in speed of getting to market, etc. So be very careful. This is, yes, the technological singularity of these superhuman beings is maybe a few years away, but right under your noses, this is happening, okay? We decided at Lenovo that this is a step change. This is not a Me Too story where there will be we'll make a new generation, a Gen 9, a Gen 10. You know, sticking jet engines on a pterodactyl. Yeah? You end up with a platypus. Okay? We decided, this is a key turning point. We actually, I think, are the company that realized this singularity because we're very practical at Lenovo. Okay? We realized we need a clean sheet of paper on this one. So just recently we announced two new systems. Just like when VMware first came, I used to work on servers, I announced a 16-way server in 2001 and said to everybody, this is for VMware, and everybody said, what? VMware? It's a migration tool for Windows to Linux. Yeah. So this is what we've done. We've introduced two new brands, ThinkSystem, the building blocks. Because as I said, you're still gonna have to upgrade things. That's the building blocks of servers, networking, and storage. Then, that's for people who want to build things and upgrade things, modify your data center, right? Then there are people who say, listen, I don't want to mess around with the screwdrivers and all of this. I'm an analyst. I'm an architect. I just want to use this stuff. You know, I want to do a platform as a service, and this as a service, and that as a service. That's what Think Agile is about. It's taking these building blocks, putting in our factory, working with a software house like Microsoft, like Nutanix, yeah? And then saying, hey, we ship it to you as an appliance to put in your data center. Okay? So two different approaches because there are two different ways of doing things. There's not one way. Okay? Then, the beginning of this month, 11th, Intel announced a new microprocessor, the Xeon SP. Yeah? We've been working on this, by the way, for the last 3 years. And we're really tired. I'm really tired. Right? And we were working because we wanted to do something special. And you know, you never know what the competition's up to, etc. When we announced, we were shocked because we did something special. We found out that we announced more SP products than anybody else because everybody else was doing the platypus trick. Right, let's put the beacon. Right? We had clean sheet design. So we announced a complete range of servers. Right? And we realized it was a building block that might be used for storage, that might be used for networking, that might be used as a server. So we benchmarked it in every possible dimension. 42 benchmarks were released on day one, 44 a couple of days later. So we looked at all different angles. Absolute performance, we're there. Price performance, we're there. Performance per watt, we did that as well. Because we're thinking now as a building block, not as a server. It's a fundamental shift. I'm getting so excited, yeah? It is exciting times. The other thing is we didn't forget the reality of this world and the complexity to deal with. Our number one drive is to simplify the data center. Because if we can do that, right, that will allow you to try all these clever things. So we did some simple things. Common parts all the way across the range. Not just drivers, or disk drives and power supplies and fans, but even the adapters and the drivers. Less drivers to change. Boot time, we halved it. Why? Because one customer came and told us, and that's a big thing. We spend all our time partnering with software houses and partnering with customers. One customer said, they worked out the cost of a boot, a reboot of a server. Guess what it was? $50. To reboot their entire estate? $250,000. Right? $250,000. Half the boot time? Half that. Okay? So when you look at all this clever big stuff, you can't, the attention to detail has to be there. And at Lenovo, we're not just talking about the data center. Who would have thought, this was the first machine, by the way, I worked on. I worked on there as a software guy on the first XT. They're telling me to get out. Right? How do we know, and this is something that has never happened in all the product announcements I've ever done for the different companies I've worked with. On day one of announce, right, even before Intel shipped their processors, this was built. This is the Barcelona supercomputer. So the machines you're going to be using, the Think system, are already running hell for leather in Barcelona, 3,200 nodes, in the prettiest data center in the world, right? The second fastest in Europe, and this is even before we started tuning it. Okay, they're telling me to do this. One last thing to think about. You know, I've all these clever things about singularities. I talked to my family about it, and my wife said, there's only one singularity in this house. It's me. I have to do everything. So there's always a different view. Now there's a prize under your for you, all of you. Thank you for coming. All you've got to do is look under your seats, and there's a business card.
If there's a seat next to you, look under there as well. Talk to the other person.
And by the way, if it's an American person who picks up the card.
Hey! Congratulations.
You get to take me out.
Sorry. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.